The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
These days are also the days of the revolution, the Islamic revolution, an event that has been foretold by the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, an event that we have been told is near the coming of the Imam of our time, connected to the coming of the Imam of our time, the first stage of the revolution of the Imam of our time, an event that has changed the world and is changing the world, an event that has started the fitan similar to the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he was asked, begged to lead the community of believers, the nation of the Prophet, as the ruler. He was there for 25 years. In those 25 years, he didn't say, لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ وَلَتُبَلْبَلَنَّ بَلْبَلَهُ. He didn't say that then. He didn't say, in the first 5 years or so, or whatever number of years, لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ, which means you will be tested, you will be put through a sieve, some of you, and separated. That's the distinction. You know, a sieve, they used to put flour through, or whatever small grains, and the finer ones would go through, and the larger ones would remain. Or sometimes it was used to find gold. The ones that are not gold, those smaller pieces or pieces of soil, gradually they break down and they go through it. What remains are those pieces, those gems, they remain. لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ. When did Ali ibn Abi Talib say this? He said it when he started his government after 25 years. After all these centuries, again the government of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, according to their own words, in so many different ways, started, and again the same words of Ali ibn Abi Talib are true. لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ وَلَتُبَلْبَلَنَّ بَلْبَلَهُ. All of you, all of us, are going through these fitan. They started with that. The enemies of Islam pushing people in one direction. The representative of the Imam pushing people in a different direction. And then munafiqeen helping the kuffar. And then some believers helping the na'ib of the Imam, the representative of the Imam. And all these voices, therefore, are being heard. And some get confused and are not able to make progress with the movement. Others are on the forefronts. They are on the front lines. They are the forerunners of the movement of the Imam. These are the times that we are in. And I hope all of us take this opportunity to go and find material, to see what happened and see for ourselves the signs of divinity. What we just said in regards to the coaching of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, and the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, is clearly seen in Imam Khomeini. Clearly, on a level that is beyond everything and anything else we have seen or experienced prior to that. The coaching that has happened prior to that, at best, the person who's been coached has been able to receive that on a level of personal purification, personal ascension. What Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, received it on the level and scale of was not only on that level, but he was coached to the level that his decisions about when to stand, when to speak, when to tell people I'm coming to Iran, when to tell people the military officers and soldiers to leave their positions, to join the revolution, when to tell the people to be patient, when to tell people to come out on the streets, when to tell people not to come out on the streets, when to say that we're going to establish a government, when to insist I'm going to come back to Iran. None of these decisions could have been so accurately taken one after the other, leading to the establishment of the Islamic Republic, and then afterwards everything that happened. Putting in the first government based on the recommendations of certain people, giving them that position was divinely guided. Taking that away from them, divinely guided. Putting in even Bani Sa'd, allowing him divine guidance, coaching of Fatima to Zahra, salamullah alayha, the a'imma of the ma'asumin, because they are nurun wahid from the perspective of them delivering it to us, they're all the same. We have been given 14 names to refer to ask, to beg, to plead to, each of them for a reason we have been given, but all of them are means and connections to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides. They have nothing of themselves. It's all from Allah. And Allah is the one who guides. If he guides through Fatima to Zahra, it's him. If he guides through Imam al-Husayn, it's him. If he's guiding through Ali ibn Abi Talib, it's him. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides. And he chooses through whom and which of these lights he presents that guidance to whomever he wishes. Clearly, divine guidance in every one of those. We are in need of that type of coaching for ourselves. And the only way, if me as a person, as just one individual, in order to be able to move in the right direction and to reach my full potential, which is falah, qad aflah al-mu'minun, prosperity in this world and the hereafter, on all different levels, if I need the coaching of the Ahlul Bayt, if I need the coaching of Fatima al-Zahra, which every single one of us does, then on a social political level, we are definitely in need of that. What are the solutions in governing our societies? One of the groups that worked against the Shah was willing to sacrifice their lives. They did. They had, apparently, from a material perspective, they were martyrs. They were activists against the Shah. They felt that the condition is so bad that they need to take arms against the Shah, but their ideology was a communist, Marxist, socialist ideology. It wasn't an Islamic ideology. They changed names. The last name they had was Fadaiyane Khalq, Cherikaye Fadaiye Khalq. They considered themselves guerrillas, guerrilla warfare, people with that type of warfare and those types of abilities, working against tyranny for establishing justice for the masses, for the oppressed people. That was their ideology. They fought against the revolution. Not only that, it was interesting what I learned today, because I already knew that. What I learned today was that they were armed by a Palestinian group, a Palestinian organization that also had socialist ideologies. Now in Palestine, that movement never reached a point where they liberated Palestine. Of course, that will happen by the hands of the believers, of course. But I want to use this as an example. But the Islamic Republic, at the time, Iran, the Shah's Iran, the monarchy, that was liberated. One of the groups working hard against the Shah is this organization. What happened to this organization, to these people, to these activists who chanted slogans, some of the best slogans against the Shah? They shed blood for removing the Shah. What happened after the revolution succeeded? They became a splinter group that started killing. The problems of trying to take apart the Islamic Republic now after the revolution, calling for independence for the Kurds, calling for independence for the Azeris or the Turks, calling for independence for the Turkmen, particularly in Kurdistan and also in Gumbad-e Kavus, they call it, a city northeast of Iran, close to the border of Turkmenistan. people there share ethnically or their ethnicity, they share with people north of the border, at least some, the Turkmens. Problems, armed movements started against the revolution by this group in Gumbede Kavus and in Kurdistan. The arms, the weaponry that was brought in from people who were fighting Israel. Is fighting Israel good or not? Of course it's great. But what's their ideology? Those, that particular group? Socialists, communists, Marxists. The basis, the core of their belief is based on the teachings of Karl Marx. They fight. Their chants are against tyranny, against this, against that, all of that. What happens when they come to power? The whole communist movement, go back and read that. The socialist movement. They created a revolution in Russia. And based on that, they created the USSR. What were their chants? What were their slogans? They said, we're against tyranny. We're against capitalism. The evil of capitalism. What are the evils of capitalism? Oppression of the masses. What did the USSR do? During their times, the type of physical oppression, and in many ways intellectual oppression that happened within the borders of the USSR, are crazier than a lot of the other stuff that we've seen from others. Back to the example, this group working against the Shah, they were working against the Shah. The followers of Imam Khomeini, the followers of the Ahrar, they're also working against the Shah. The revolution succeeded, the Shah is gone. They should be celebrating, rejoicing along with everyone else. Like, no, the revolution is not over. We need to be in power. And how we're going to do that? The same tactics against the Shah, armed rebellion against the Shah, now armed rebellion against the revolution. We need coaching. We need to receive that guidance from the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.